I'm glad you can be 80 year old and sing like that and have joy in your heart. Amen. She acts like she does know. Amen. She's convinced me. I'm glad salvation is something we do know. I'm not waiting to find out whether I've got it or not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's what the scripture says. I'm already in the family. I know where I'm headed. I just don't know when I'm going to get there. Amen. Appreciate the singing this morning. It's come time for our third message. I appreciate Brother Charles Mustin. Pastors the Midway Baptist Church there in Jamestown, North Carolina. I appreciate him and Miss Diane. They're friends of ours, and I've not asked him to preach because he's my friend. I asked him because God touched my heart about it. But aren't you glad God puts people in your way that are there, and they'll pray for you and encourage you? I appreciate and love you. Amen. Preach to us this morning. I love you.
Amen. Well, it's a real joy to be here. I tell you, we've heard some wonderful preaching. Wonderful preaching. I'm glad that we're not in competition, because I probably wouldn't get the blue ribbon or the red ribbon. Fall in probably last place. I'm glad we're not in competition. I'm glad we're here to honor and magnify our Lord. Do our part. I appreciate this camp meeting. Several years ago, I began coming to this camp meeting, and I tell you, I've not regretted it. It has done more in my heart than I could ever explain. You find our text in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter number 9, and I want to read a few verses and try to say some things that I reckon the Lord put it in my heart. It's a battle sometimes, knowing, you know, what exactly to preach. And I've learned a long time ago, I've learned to quit looking for something new. And I'm glad I learned that lesson. So this is not new. And you pray for us, Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. Our Bible is filled with testimonies of men and women that have come to know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Here in our reading this morning, we read about the testimony of the Apostle Paul. If there's ever anybody in the Bible that was against Christianity and against Christ and all that Christ stood for. No doubt it was mismanned by the name of Saul. Matter of fact, over in the book of Timothy, Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. Amen. Having read that and said that this morning, I want to preach on when the chief got saved. Amen. Have you ever been to a church service that turns into a testimony service? People stand and spontaneously they testify when and where of their salvation. Although the details may vary, some more specific than others, but all of them have a common thread. All of them have a common theme. They testify of a time when they encountered the living Lord Jesus and surrendered their life to His Lordship. One preacher was in a service, and it turned out to be a testimony service. The preacher said, anybody got a testimony? Finally, one man stood up. He said, I got one. And he gave his testimony. He said, anybody else got a testimony? Another man stood up and said, I got one. Whole time counted at the back of the church. A streetwalker came in and sitting there, and the preacher heard him mumbling something during the testimony service. But then all of a sudden another member said, I got one. Testified. Heard that fellow back there again. Preacher said, sir, I keep hearing some noise. Anything I can help you with? Street man said, I want one of them. He said, what do you mean? He said, I want one of them testimonies. I ain't got one. Aren't you glad today that you have a testimony? An encounter with Christ. That Christ came by where you was at. Lifted you up out of your sin. And brought you close to Him. I tell you, I'm glad today that I have a testimony. Now, your testimony may not be like mine. And it don't have to be. You may not have experienced the same thing that happened to me. But you don't have to experience what happened to me. You don't have to have my testimony. You don't have to have my experience. But you need to have and experience. Before I get into my text, I'll quickly mention this. If you study there over in the book of Acts 16, the first three converts of the Apostle Paul were all different. The very first convert of the Apostle Paul was a woman by the name of Lydia. And the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart. She had a quiet experience. Nobody around but her and the Lord. And the Lord opened her heart. And then you read on about where that woman that was in demonology was saved. And the Bible says that the demons came out immediately. One was a quiet testimony. Here we find a quick testimony. All of a sudden, all those demons left her. Now, it doesn't happen like that for everybody. There's a lot of people that have a terrible past, and it took some time for them to get cleaned up and get the things right in their life. But not this woman. No, she had a quick experience. But then there was the Philippian jailer. We'll not deal with that. But he had a quaking experience. Boy, I've heard some testimonies that would rock this building. Now, let me just say this morning. Yours may not have been a quiet testimony. I can see them testifying there in church. Lydia stands up and she says, "The Lord just opened my heart." A woman with the demon said, "Well, it didn't happen to me like that." And then she gives her testimony. And then the Philippian jailer said, "Well, it didn't happen to me like that." You know, there's a lot of folks today that really doubt whether they're saved or not, because their experience wasn't just like somebody else's experience. You don't have to have somebody else's experience. I'm glad that God can give us our personal experience with Him this morning. Look here at the Apostle Paul quickly. His rebirth encounter. Notice with me, number one, notice it's all I'll get today, but notice the record of his salvation. Every genuine believer has a record or a testimony of their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not remember all the details of it, but somewhere in the yesterdays, your life was changed. I don't know all the details, but I got saved. Somebody asked me one time, "Did you pray a sinner's prayer?" Anything I'd have prayed would have been a sinner's prayer. Amen. I mean, that's all I was, a sinner. I don't know the words that you used, and I ain't so sure of all the words that I used. But I'm telling you, my friend, this morning, it's more than just a prayer you prayed. Most folks, now some folks, the only assurance they got is a date written in front of their Bibles. Or what your mama told you would happen. Or maybe what your Sunday school teacher told you would happen. I am convinced today. I've been pastoring where I'm at over 40 years now. And I am convinced in our congregation and in your congregation, there's a lot of church members that's been to the labor room but never made it to the delivery room. They've heard others cry. They've heard others scream. They know what it is to look through the glass at somebody else's birth. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of folk. They've made it to the labor room, but they've never made it to the delivery room. Aren't you glad today that God brought you and birthed you in the family of God today? Man asked me the other day, "Preacher, why are so many people quitting on God?" I mean, they start out wonderful. And all of a sudden, they start laying out. Remind me of this rabbit hunter. Had two rabbit dogs. One named Bonnie, and the other one named Clyde. Both of them run wild. He lived out in the country. He said he drove up the driveway one day. He said, there's Bonnie out there running a rabbit. She ran the rabbit across the garden, across the driveway, through the pasture. And the whole time she was running the rabbit, Clyde was laying in the shade. She ran the rabbit right by, and Clyde still just asleep in there in the shade. Finally, that rabbit ran up under the old smokehouse, had a hole up under there. Bonnie ran out there to the smokehouse and began to dig and began to bark and began to dig and began to bark. And Clyde heard all the barking. He hauled all the ruckus. Clyde got up, ran over there, and started barking along with Bonnie and digging. After they dug a while, Clyde went on back up under the shade tree and laid down. Somebody asked the farmer, how come Clyde went back under the tree and left Bonnie there? Said because he never seen the rabbit. I'm telling you, my friend, we got a lot of them that dig and holler. They know what it sounds like. They can yip like them. They can pray like them. They can sing like them. They can raise their hand like them. They can worship like them. But yet they've never seen a rabbit. I'm glad, my friend, there can be a reality in your heart knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Paul the apostle being saved. Kind of like the president of Russia being saved today. Notice your Bible quickly. Verses 1 through 3, we'll not reread these. I'm talking about the record of his salvation. Notice how sudden it was. The word suddenly, there in verse number 3, it speaks of the nature of it, not just the timing of it. It didn't just happen quickly. It happened unexpectedly. It came out of nowhere. Brother Steve Dagenhart kind of coined that phrase, the Holy Ghost broadsided this place. Aren't you glad there was a glad day in your life? Unexpectedly, you didn't know it was coming, and the Holy Ghost broadsided you and, my friend, made you aware of your sin. Saul is literally in the midst of breathing out threats. He was right in the middle of paganism. And God, in his grace, suddenly, he suddenly came to where Saul, or the apostle later, Paul was. This little thought I come up with. Have you ever thought about the Apostle Paul entered heaven to the cheers of those he martyred? Those that he may have killed himself. Oh, may God help us to realize of what God has brought us out of. His conversion is an example of the timeless gospel. Brings me to this truth. There's no person who is so bad that cannot be saved. And there's no person who is so good that need not be saved. God can do more in a nanosecond of sovereign mercy than we can do with a lifetime of nagging. How sudden it was. But notice how simple it was. Don't get me wrong. This is an incredible, spectacular encounter. Lights are flashing. Voices from heaven. A vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to the most, the modern church of today, that would probably be shockingly plain. Have you ever thought about Paul's conversion? There's no production director getting the order of the service perfect. There's no mood music with a string pad playing just as I am. There's no story about people dying on the way home from church. There are no heads bowed. There are no eyes closed. There's no preacher in a three-piece suit or skinny blue jeans. There's a light show. But my friend, it's not a man-made light show. Wow, some of these things may be acceptable, but they're not necessary. They may have been part of the experience, but they're never part of the equation. Think about a birthday cake. You get sprinkles and icings all on the cake. Happy birthday. That's wonderful. But they're not actually part of the cake. They go on the cake. But they're not part of the cake. You, my friend, today, Paul's preaching would later indicate that there was certainly belief, there was repentance, there was faith, not anything much ever involved except that. Amen. You don't have to have a certain personality. I mean, hurry. How sudden it was. How simple it was. But let me say how sovereign it was. If there's ever been an example of the providence of God in salvation, it was this man, Saul of Tarsus. Let me just say this, and my time's gone. I look at my conversion experience. Now I look back and see things I didn't see then. I see how God connected me to my wife. Now, it's my girlfriend then. How that she was saved and served God, and how God, through her, brought me to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I lied to her and told her I was saved. And she said, "We're going to church Sunday." I said, "I can't wait." Oh, man, I love it. What I'm trying to say, it sounds like a setup to me. How God worked providentially, brought me to the place where I could be saved, birthed into the family of God.